Welcome to Crash Concepts, where the economy, energy, and the environment are explored. Up next, fresh ideas and insights into the factors that are driving the world and shaping your future. Presenting information you can't afford to live without, here's Chris Martinson.
Welcome, everyone, to this Peak Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and it is March 27th, 2019, which means I just recently got off of a cruise with the Real Estate Radio Guys Annual Summit at Sea. Adam Taggart and I were there again, third year that we've been there. And as always, I met and I talked with and learned from just incredible people. But also, as always, I came away really annoyed that such valuable financial information as I was getting there had not somehow been taught to me earlier, or just that it had been something that I'd missed. The really incredible stuff there. And of course, there's two parts of money. One is making it, and the second is keeping it. And part of keeping it, of course, involves the tax codes, the tax laws. And this is where a lot of my annoyance is really centered, which is that there are it's a very complex tax code that we live with in the United States, same as any country. And of course, there are wrinkles to it. There are ways that the government wants to reinforce some behaviors. They want to punish other ones. You know, the tax code kind of tells you what the government wants. So if you look into it, you would be not mistaken to think that the government really wants oil to come out of oil wells. It really wants people to have houses to live in. And it's rewarding both of those activities as well. But there are some other wrinkles, too, in terms of the 401k, the pension sort of side of things that we're going to be talking about today. And I'm going to be telling you about a program I learned about last year and put in place for myself. So I've opened up a whole new retirement vehicle for myself, and it's got some very interesting tax advantages and other wrinkles to it that I wanted you to know about. Now, listen, you know, if you don't have or don't care about having a retirement account or think this doesn't apply to you, it might not. But for everybody else who's in a certain set of circumstances, this could be one of the more valuable podcasts that you are going to hear in your financial education that we're bringing you at Peak Prosperity. So, this is a little bit complex. It's going to have some acronyms. Fortunately, there's a really easy book that's written along with this. We'll make sure you can get your hands on that. I will be doing everything I can to keep the jargon to a minimum and making sure that anything that we use as an acronym gets spelled out. And because it's a little bit complex, but not that complex. It's worth the time to go into the details. And talking with us about this today is somebody I met on the summit at sea a couple of years back, and he's gone there every year. Saw him again this year. Today's guest is Damian Lupo, whose personal mission is to help free a million people from financial bondage. I guess that's down to 999,999, because I feel like I've taken a step towards freedom from financial bondage. Absolutely. He's an American sensei. He's a Yokido founder, a fifth degree black belt, a financial mentor to Transformation Nation. He's a best-selling author in personal finance and money psychology. He's written 9 books, has started over 40 companies. Damian, welcome.
Hey, Chris. It's really good to be here. I feel like I just saw you, except it's because I just did. Last week, we hung out on that great boat together with a bunch of awesome people, really blowing up their lives financially and just creating a lot of freedom. So it's fun to be able to share that with them and to share that with you and your listeners today.
You know, it really is a lot of fun. And this podcast will be one of the first times I get to introduce more of what I got from that trip. So we'll have a little of that wrapped in there. And for starters, very curious crowd, a lot of overlap between the audience that I attract and the Summit at Sea guys attract. We're starting to see more and more of the Venn diagram area begin to expand in that overlap. And people that are curious, they're very intelligent, successful, willing to sort of look at things from a new angle and put that into action. And so I personally come away fairly motivated, as always, when I'm around that many dynamic people who are doing things. Many of their things I would never do because that's their interest. But it's just fun to be around that. There's like a critical mass of sort of momentum that I carry from that every year.
Well, one of the things that I pulled away in terms of momentum and what hit me the biggest was this comment that Robert Kiyosaki made about wealth and what wealth is. And it was fascinating because I'm always thinking in terms of, I don't know, the mainstream where we think about wealth being money or gold or land or, you know, people. And then he said, it's about learning. It's about experience that leads to learning, and you can't learn less. You can never have that take away. The more you have of that, the wealthier you are. But it's not just reading a book. It's actually going and doing something. And it's so the momentum is by, like we were talking about having a garden and different things that you and Adam talk about a lot with the different things you can do to create prosperity. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is the problem. Most people don't go out and do something. So there's going to be some stuff we can talk about today. Additional things like you talk with your community a lot about doing something that gets the ball going. And that's where the wealth lies. It's in the doingness, not just the thinking about it.
Well, in speaking of the doing, and to get to today's subject, you did something, which was wouldn't have occurred to me, which was you went out and said, hey, there's something to be done here about retirement accounts. And you examined it, you looked into it, and came up with an angle on this that is really very compelling. And so I want to dive into that because it wouldn't have occurred to me to go out and think about how I might transform or use the retirement system to my benefit. It was, because I was also, my financial education was just like everybody else's. You know, here's a retirement account. This is what they look like. You're going to go into 401k. Your company's going to administer it. Do you want the Fidelity Long Fund or the 2X Long Fund? You know, and that were the options of the universe. It was presented to me. And of course, you peel that back and you discover, whoa, a lot more things you can invest in. And I would love to have that universe opened up. So there's a way to do that in this program you're talking about. And there are different tax advantages as well that were, obviously not talked about for me all that cleverly in times past when I was doing other retirement planning. So let's dive right into this. The QRP is the device, the vehicle we're talking about. What is that?
So QRP stands for Qualified Retirement Plan, and we have a spin-off. It's kind of our own personal spin. It's the EQRP, and really what this is, it's a way to develop a retirement plan. It's a type of 401k that gives you control of your money. So right now there's $25 trillion with a T, $25 trillion worth of assets inside these plans, retirement plans, and most of that's in mutual funds. Like you said, the long fund, the short fund, the left fund, the right fund, mm-hmm. and that's it. And so you basically, most people are thinking, well, yeah, my 401k or my IRA, and it's an afterthought. It's like, okay, it has some stuff in it and I hope it goes up, but then they, hopium is their strategy. They smoke a bunch of it and then maybe it, there's some cap there. But really what I found when I started digging into the tax code and seeing a lot of family members that really just hoped that was their entire strategy, hope Wall Street didn't rape and pillage them, which it mm-hmm. does. They showed up at and when they retired and they didn't have a whole lot of money there. They had no control. And so the idea was that there's got to be other options. And digging into it, there's kind of it's almost a fringe space because there are tens of millions of retirement accounts and there are about 2 million that are self-directed. And among those, there's a small number like the one that you have and many of our clients now have where you have a checkbook with your retirement money, which is a crazy idea. And now, the first thing that comes up, people are like, wait, this is crazy. I've never heard of this. The reason you haven't heard of it is because Wall Street doesn't make any money on this type of account. They don't control your assets. You do. And that's really good for you, but it's very bad for them. So they're never going to promote it. And a typical financial advisor is not going to say, hey, this is a great idea. Why don't you take all your assets and run them yourself? That way I go and starve to death because I can't feed on you. So this is, it's a way for you to control some or all of your assets in a retirement account and do things that are really more interesting, I think, like real estate or physical gold or private equity or businesses, land in Belize or Panama, like all these really mm-hmm. cool things that start to put you in the driver's seat so that you're not subject to the corruption and manipulation of these big institutions, which I think we can agree is probably pretty prevalent everywhere.
Yeah, if the big institution's interests align with yours, it's a coincidence. A nice one, but kind of random. And the reason I liked this idea of the EQRP is because I'm a little bit of a control freak. I want to be able to control my own stuff. But I will tell you that when I had traditional 401ks, I felt really out of control from it because there was a very small universe of things you could sort of touch and there was an administrator and there was a process to go through and it felt like to gain access to anything, I would have to need a special signed notarized document, a note from my mom, and Mercury couldn't be in retrograde. There are all these conditions, and it, all of which were designed to, I think, just create this idea that it wasn't really mine. It's over there. Somebody else is managing it. Pay no attention to the fact that they get assets under management fees off of that. And that's where their interest the line, that's fine. But I'm a person who really wants not only a little bit more of that control, I trust myself to direct my investments. And I know a lot of my listeners fall into that bucket as well. But I wanted, the thing that, that really drew me to this is I wanted access to a wider range of investment vehicles than is typically freely available through a 401k. There are other ways you can sort of get at those funds, but it's hard. What I liked here was this is easy because you said the magic word, checkbook control. I think some that might have skipped right past a bunch of people, but let's really talk about, you know, the bones of this. What, how does this thing operate and what does that checkbook control really mean?
Well, so where most people's money, if you got a retirement account right now, you've got a 401k or a 457, 403, these are different types of qualified plans, or you've got an IRA, there's a trustee or a custodian. There's somebody that you have to get through to get your money. So you have to get permission. Like you have to get a note from your mom, like you said, mm-hmm. to get freaking money. And oftentimes they either say no, or they spend so long thinking or processing, you lose out on the ability to do things. What happens once you switch gears and do what you did was, you actually have a checking account at a bank with your money in it and you sign the checks. So as long as it takes you to write a check is how long it takes you to do anything. I mean, it's hard for people to imagine. In fact, I have clients that will call me and say, I have a check here for $600,000. Like I'm freaking out. And I go, why? They go, because I'm controlling my money. And I said, that's new, isn't it? And they say, yeah, somebody also has always been babysitting. I go, why do you still have a babysitter? You're 45 years old. Like, didn't that stop when you were about 12? But people mm-hmm. aren't used to it because we're trained that we're too stupid and we should have somebody else that's smart with credentials. All that means is you've got somebody ripping you off every month with fees. So this really switches to where you have control. And that scares some people. They really are uncomfortable. And then for a lot of folks, including I think probably a lot of folks listening here, it makes them very happy to think, hey, I can get control, because I think it's a good idea to be a control freak with your money. I mean, Wall Street is going to do what Wall Street does for its benefit. It's like you said, it's a coincidence if the interests align. Because typically, it's the aftermath. I mean, look at your accounts over the last couple of years, and it's sort of strange because maybe the market went up and your account didn't go up that much, or a little bit, or a lot less than the whole market. It's because you're being fed to death in the shadows.
Right. And so even if you are comfortable having your money, say, in an index fund or something like that, a super low fee fund, there's really no reason that you can't still have that under your control, and you're the one deciding when and where and how to do that. But it's really the idea that you can invest in a really wide range of things. So before we get into that, though, let's talk about the mechanism of setting one of these things up. Again, this could sound very complicated. Let's just demystify it. Yes, there's some steps to follow. I didn't find them all that onerous. You made it really easy. Your company really just ushered the process beautifully. So let's talk through that. Somebody's interested. Tell us what the process here is.
So what happens is pretty simple. We have a conversation. It usually takes 10 to 20 minutes. It's a process of us making sure this is the right fit. Once it is, we do an application. The application is information to build the vehicle, if you will. And so we get the application and then we build it. It takes a few days for us to build it. And then once it's built, the person gets an email with all of their documents and their step-by-step instructions. With that, the next step is setting up a bank account. It takes the next day. From that point going forward, it's really just getting the money into the account. And this could be rollover, or it could also be new money that's coming in if you have self-employment income. But for most people, we've got money that's sitting somewhere and we want to pull that over. So that's just a request to wherever the money is, and it's a rollover transfer. And that usually takes about a week for that money to get over. So the logistics of this are a couple of calls and a form that is sent over to a current custodian saying, I want to have my money transferred. And at that point, usually a check shows up within a week and you are sitting there with a checkbook and you've got control of your money. So it's not overly complicated. On purpose, we took all of the friction and the confusion and said, okay, how can we make this simple? And so most people, if they have a complaint, this seems too simple. And so I laugh about that. I go, well, I can complicate it if you want, but I think the Wall Street system does enough complications. So we're going to keep this simple.
Sure. And there's one other wrinkle in there, too, which is there's an account. It's sitting with the name of whatever this 401k is, because that is the owner of that. And of course, you then, as the checkbook controller of that, you are the custodian of that account.
Yeah, you get to be the role. So there's a couple of terms, and whether it's a 401k or a QRP or an IRA, there's custodians and trustees. It's basically the same person. It's the person mm-hmm. that's has oversight. They have a responsibility to take good care of the funds or the assets. And so we're really talking about the same person. Who is in control of the money? And that's, once this is set up, that would be you.
And then there's one other piece which involves for some, I guess, or maybe for all, but certainly for me, is the setting up of an LLC as well.
Right. So we also set up an entity because there's some value in setting up entities elsewhere, meaning different states have different values, whether it's Wyoming or Delaware or Nevada. And so we set up an entity that it can actually control your assets. And this is a unique part of the EQRP, where you have both control and privacy and speed and a little bit of anonymity. So when I say privacy, it's we keep things off public record where we set things up. And we also allow you to invest to where the outside public doesn't even know that this is a retirement account. That's on purpose. It keeps it very simple for everybody else, makes your life easier while keeping it very private. So we do some things that are pretty unusual. There's a lot of different firms that set up retirement accounts. We decided to take all of the problems, all of the litigation potential, which is probably one of the biggest threats we have now, is getting sued. If you have money, you're a target. We talked about this on the cruise, that rich people have targets on them. And so if you have money, you're looked at rich by somebody. There's just a kind of socialist movement in the United States, and it's all about, hey, let's get the money from the people that have it. So we need to help prevent you from having your money taken by some ding-dong that decides to trip over your lawn. So that's part of the process of setting up the entity. So we do all of it. It's turnkey, and it is relatively simple from the client's perspective. So all the complication is inside of our black box.
Well, let's talk about some of that simplification process. So, gosh, Damien, it sounds like I'm going to have all this extra paperwork. There must be just gobs of paperwork. Don't I have to file things at the end of the year? And tell us about that part of the process.
So we literally do everything. I mean, there's nothing that you have to even file on. If you have over $250,000, for example, there's a 5500 form. That's something that we do in-house. There's any of the filing with the state secretaries of state, registered agent, like all these things. These are the complicated pieces that we do. It's part of the service we provide, because if I'm in your shoes, I'm asking, okay, how do I do things that are simple? Well, most companies do part of it and they hand you a pile of paper and say, good luck. That's a terrible experience. So we actually do all the filing, and we also coordinate with a lot of attorneys and accountants. So we're part of a team. It's not just a mill where we produce something, hand it off and say, good luck. We literally are part of your ongoing team, which is important. I think investing and finance is a team event. It's not just something we should be doing on our own. So we take care of everything in the background. So your goal and your mission, your job is literally just to invest. We take care of all the compliance and filings and everything else.
Now, let's talk real quickly about the legality of all of this. You know, sometimes in accounting, there's stuff that's very clearly in the black, some that's a little bit sort of over in the white, a little gray area in between. You know, before you told me about this, I hadn't heard about these. So one of my first questions was, oh, is this one of these, you know, crazy things at the edge that you're like sort of skating on thin ice, or is this a really solid piece? And I've satisfied myself investigating it, but I'm sure other people have that same question. What do you got there?
This is one of the things people do is they say, well, I haven't heard of it, therefore it must be illegal. Mm-hmm. You know, and I go, this is not Wesley Snipes' program. Like, this is, you know, and if you don't know the reference, decided to play some crazy tax game, and he went to jail, or very bad. Mm-hmm. This was set up in the 70s. ERISA set up 401ks. And as the years have gone on, there's been legislation that allowed people to have their own retirement plan. So that was changed 17 years ago in the early 2000s under the Bush administration. So at this point, there are a couple million of these plans. And they've been built, they've been set up. Like, your plan that you have from us was literally sent to the IRS and we receive approval before we deliver it. So it's not something that we're hoping will work out. Like, it is black and white. There is no gray. Mm-hmm. And any challenges to any part of it have already gone through the court system, and there's case law. So it's nice because we're not wondering or hoping that maybe this will work out. You can't afford to do that when you're talking about retirement stuff, because you don't want to wake up at 60 years old and have the IRS say, hey, we don't like the way you did that. So this follows very, very specific guidelines to where you can sleep at night. And that's important for everybody. It should be, because you don't want to be wondering about that if it's going to all go away because you're playing. And people often ask certain questions. There's something called a ROBS, which is where you basically invest in a business. And it's a strange thing, because both to me and to people like Tom Wheelwright, who many of the listeners know is a rich dad advisor, he and I have talked about this, and people play in the gray. And I just point blank, when somebody asks me about that particular thing, I say, no, you're violating the code, and I can show you where you're violating it. Everything that I reference, I can show you the code in the QRP book that I wrote. It's literally based on the code. The tax attorney and I that wrote it, everything in there, we can cite the code. So this is important. It's not my opinion. It's what the IRS said.
Great. So a lot of different types of plans out there. And so somebody, you know, I had a typical 401k. I also have a SEP IRA. So I'm starting to get familiar with all these different types of plans. They each have certain different limits that you can contribute and what you can and can't invest in and sort of rules around that. Can we go through just some of the highlights that would differentiate a typical 401k somebody might have, a SEP IRA, and also the QRP?
So yeah, definitely. Typically a 401k that you have with an employer, or a typical one that somebody has, is very, very limited. You have like five options and they're all stocks, bonds, cash, mutual funds. Those you have limited control, and it's really on purpose, because there's a lot of fees that are going to an administrator. And so that's typically very narrow. We tend to get excited about it because there's matching. So we'd say, oh, this is good. I'm getting free money. Yeah, but you're stuck in an asset that really you have no control over. There are limits with those where you can put up to $56,000 a year. So that's a high limit compared to an IRA, which is only like $6,000 a year. So that's cool. The problem is you don't have much control. You mentioned SEPs. So a SEP IRA is something that a lot of people have, especially small business owners. The problem with it is there's still a custodian, and there are problems if you ever do any real estate investing, because you trip up a thing called UBIT, which is one of those acronyms you warn people, the unrelated business income tax. And that's because any real estate that has debt, which we think is pretty useful when you have real estate, triggers this tax. So what you need to know about that is, if you're going to do any type of real estate investing with a retirement account, the only one it should be is a qualified plan like the EQRP or like a solo 401k, because those are exempt from the actual tax from leverage. So that's a valuable difference. Another huge difference for a lot of our clients is the interest in holding physical gold. And physical gold, you can actually use your qualified plan like the EQRP. You can use that to buy physical gold and take possession, because you're the trustee and you get to determine where that gold is held. With an IRA, even a self-directed IRA, big difference is you can't hold the gold. And I can show you in the code where it literally says it has to be a certain type of depository. What that means is that you may as well just put it in a bank safety deposit box, because you don't have any control. Like if a bank closes, you don't have access to it. To me, it doesn't make any sense to have physical gold unless you actually control where it is and you can touch it. So that's a huge difference. The EQRP gives you the ability to control things, to have leverage with real estate without being taxed. You can put the most money in this of any of these plans. I mean, now it's $56,000, or if you're over age 50, it's $62,000 per person per year. So it's a lot more. I mean, with an IRA, $6,000 a year, give me a break. You're not going to get rich. You're just going to get old. So it's kind of big. To me, it's not a benefit. Another really valuable thing, all the different plans have the ability to have a Roth component. And a lot of times people get excited for a self-directed IRA that has a Roth. They say, this is great. It's after tax. What you should know is that an EQRP, a qualified plan, also has that built in. So if you want, you can have your money being after tax, which is pretty powerful when you compound. And down the road, I think you and I would agree that tax rates are probably going to be higher down the road. So this idea that we should put a bunch of money into a retirement account and then wake up one day and be broke and in a lower tax bracket, and that's when we're going to pull the money out, that's a good idea. Why would we plan to be broke? That's stupid. So Roth gives you an option to plan to be wealthy and rich, have assets. So it's there right now. It may not be there forever. It was talked about being destroyed, taken out of the code last year by the Trump administration. So some of these things, it's an evolving environment. It's important to know what's going on. Take advantage of things, because oftentimes they're grandfathered in. When they go away, people that had them get to continue. Like Mitt Romney has $100 million plus in his Roth account. I don't think they're going to tell him he has to just disband it. I think they're going to say, okay, you got it, but nobody else. So that's important.
So let's talk about that taking possession of gold or I assume silver or something like that. As the trustee, you would have to obviously show that you were taking a good fiduciary responsibility for this thing. I assume if you took possession of your gold and then filed out a police report saying that somebody walked into your kitchen and took it out of your flour bin, that probably wouldn't have been a reasonable fiduciary responsibility. So you still, as trustee, you have to be responsible for this and behave in what would be considered a responsible fashion, obviously, right?
That's it. Your job, a fiduciary's job, is to be a good steward of assets. And so if you put a sign on your front door that says gold on kitchen counter, that doesn't qualify as a good steward. So yeah, it's really just being responsible. And that's another point that some people say, well, who's this for and who's it not for? It's not for somebody that's reckless, because you, there's nobody in between you and your assets. Like, you're literally in charge. So if you blow it up, that's on you. And that's one of the reasons that some people keep their money inside of mutual funds and things, or with custodians, because they don't, they're just not responsible. So it is an important point. You've got to be smart about your assets.
All right. So let's talk too. Now, one of the things that, that attracted me to this is that a lot of the, tax code is, it's unnecessarily confusing and difficult to follow. And even if you really study it, you still can't get your arms totally around it. And what I mean by that is that, for a lot of the IRA stuff, they tell you what you can invest in. But of course, if they haven't said it and it's still something you can invest in, it's kind of gray. You don't know. Excuse me. But when it comes to the self-directed 401ks, and that includes the QRP, unless, correct me if I've got that wrong, they did something really unusual, which is they told you what you couldn't invest in. And that's a very small, crisp universe of things. Did I get that right? And if so, what are those things you can't invest in?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because people will call and they'll say, well, I found this thing I want to invest in. And I say, great. And they say, well, how do you know? Is it on the list? And I said, the list is the list of things that you can't invest in. And those are things, there are people you can't invest with, like your parents or your kids. You can't invest in a deal with them. And there are certain things. What's funny is the certain things are mostly like collectible items. So it's things like rugs and wine and coins that are not bullion. So you can invest in gold coins, but that's just like basically raw gold almost.
No numismatic value.
No numismatic, exactly. The other thing that you can't invest in is anything that you're getting a current value from. So like you can't go buy a vacation home with your retirement account and then go spend the summer there. That's mm-hmm. People get into trouble because they're trying to screw over the IRS. Well, you think about it. You mentioned in the beginning, the tax code is there. It's kind of incentives to get society to do a certain thing. The idea here is that the IRS and the Department of Labor and Congress want you to go do things that create assets that are going to support you, because they know they can't do that when you get old. Mm-hmm. If you're using your retirement account as a vacation property buyer, then you're not really creating assets that are growing. And so the idea here is make sure you're buying things that are going to grow and they're going to expand, so that you're taking care of your retirement. It's not a big list. It's very crisp. It's very clean. It's very direct. And if you just look at the list, and we share that with people and we say, here's what not to do. If you get in trouble, it's because you're trying to play with fire, and it's mm-hmm. because you're violating very clear rules. It's not complicated. It's not mysterious. And so you follow the rules and you can use this tool to create a lot of wealth. But even if you make a mistake, people say, well, what happens if I screw up? You can fix it. It's doing a disqualified transaction. There's a 15% penalty on whatever you invested in for each year that you have the problem. So, I mean, it's not horrible. It's not good, but and you can fix it. So it's not overly disastrous, if you will. It's mm-hmm. it's something that can be remedied. Most of our clients don't run into that. What people tend to do is they forget to file a 5500 form, but you don't have to worry about that with us, because we're going to do it for you. You just have to say, hey, I need to do this, and please do it. And so we take care of it for you.
Great. And I love that part. I'm really interested in the real estate investing. One of the ways I understood that made sense to me is that if I want to, say, buy a rental property and then have somebody have use of it, it can't be somebody, myself, or somebody in my vertical line. So that's grandparents, parents, children. That's a vertical line. But horizontal lines, that could include uncles, cousins, things like that, is okay, if I understood the material I was reading. Is that correct?
That's right. It's basically, it could be almost anybody except for parents, grandparents, and kids. I mean, it's mm-hmm. you really are, it's open. A spouse is not okay, but boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, totally fine. So all these different people, there's tons of people that you can do stuff with. You could rent a property to your cousin that mm-hmm. your retirement account owns. So, I mean, there's lots of options, very limited on what you can't do and who you can't do it with. And beyond that, it's pretty wide open. So you kind of look at your list and go, is this person or is this deal on this list? No, good. Then you're good to go.
Yeah. And the idea of being able to designate, you know, is this going into a Roth or non? And just for people who are listening, so a Roth is coming out pre-tax. So if I earned $100,000, I put $20,000 into this thing, I'm still paying taxes on my $100,000. But that $20,000 accumulates however it grows. That comes out tax-free as long as the rules don't get changed. Big as long as qualifier on that one. They probably won't change them retroactively, I guess. They might just close the doors and say nobody more, to your point about what they were saying, what you were saying about Mitt Romney. otherwise the stuff is going in pre-tax. So if I think that that I'm in a high tax bracket now, but anticipate being in a lower tax bracket later, I'm probably going to not use the Roth, or vice versa. It kind of depends. So everybody needs to talk with their own qualified financial planners and sort of plan that through. The tax stuff is really complex. I'm just outlining it here so people have education around this. Again, not financial advice, of course. Talk with somebody who really knows your circumstance. And to that end, I'm really interested in real estate investing. And now it gets a little bit more complex as to the intersection and interaction between a retirement account, which has certain tax sheltering and benefits and things like that, and real estate, which has its own sets. So help us understand what some of the benefits might be here for having money in a self-directed plan where I could choose real estate as an investment class and how that might work.
So there's one of the things that I've seen a lot in this industry with the retirement planning is that people become fanatical and they say everything should be in a retirement account. And that's not even close to true. And a great example is real estate, because there are tax shelters because of depreciation, mm-hmm. because of bonus depreciation after the Tax Reform Act in December of 17. There's not a good reason to have long-term property that is a rental property that you're going to get cash flow from inside of a retirement account. I wouldn't do that. It's a kind of a dumb idea. A lot of people do it with their IRAs, and the problem is you're getting two things. You're losing all the depreciation benefit, and you're going to have a tax because you've got debt on the property. So what would go in there? What makes sense? Well, what makes sense in real estate is either land, where there is no depreciation or anything, putting land inside of an account, and also any type of syndications. A syndication is where maybe you're one of 10 or 20 or 50 investors that are buying an apartment complex, because most of the syndications are being purchased and then 4 or 5 years later, they're being sold. That's, if you think of it, it's sort of a long-term flip. Mm-hmm. Well, a flip, there's no depreciation involved. And if it is, it gets undone when you sell the thing. So it's a great place to put money that you're from your retirement account, because there is no benefit to the depreciation. So you're not really putting a tax shelter in a tax shelter, as Tom Wheelwright says. That's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you're really just putting money into something using the qualified plan as your tax shelter. And then when the investment flips, when it's sold off, all the gains, whether it doesn't matter whether they're capital gains or income or any of that, it doesn't make any difference. It's all sheltered. So those are the land and syndications, things that are going to be short-term, great. Anything that has long-term cash flow with depreciation, I wouldn't put that stuff inside of a plan. So if you think about it, that's really the big differentiation between what should go in there and what shouldn't.
And syndication is something I really just learned about last year. And so for people who that sounds like a big word, a bunch of syllables, it's really just talking about pooling a bunch of different investors' capital to buy something. So let's imagine there's a $10 million apartment building. It's got, I don't know, 400 doors, 400 units in it, and they're looking to raise $100,000 from 100 different people. And that would be a syndication. So that would be a deal. And that's what Damien is referring to here, is that idea of pooling people's assets. And Adam and I are looking into some things that some syndications and all that, because it makes a lot of sense. And those are really for people who, more like me, I've got a very busy job. I don't want to be an active real estate investor, meaning I don't want to be the person who has to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to fix a broken toilet or attend to other things. I'd rather be a little bit more hands-off, and syndication is a way of beginning to gain access to real estate in all of its myriad splendor, with lots of different syndications out there touching everything from commercial to residential assisted living to apartment buildings, single family homes, you name it. So that's just to unpack that word a little bit. So that's where it starts to make a lot of sense. And I like this idea of land, because one of my personal strategies, Damien, is I want to be a big landowner at some point in time. And that's going to be one of my long-term strategies, to begin to accumulate what I consider to be raw land with timber on it, or farmland or things like that, that may or may not have development capability down the road, but certainly is not going to be doing a lot of depreciating over time. So that's an area I'm personally very interested in. I know a lot of my listeners are as well. So to hold something like that, a piece of land with a title, it belongs to the 401k at that point in time, the QRP. What's involved in that whole process? Does when you go to close that transaction on a piece of land, do you show up as the administrator, the trustee of this account with your magic checkbook? And
that's exactly right. It's as if you were buying anything else. You're just putting on a different hat. So when you sign, you're signing as trustee, and and you buy that thing. I mean, that's actually a really great place to hold assets that are part of your Roth account. Because when you think about land, oftentimes land, especially if you're growing things, mm-hmm. if you're in agriculture, the land isn't worth that much in the beginning, which is great. So you buy it with your Roth. So you have a small amount of money. Well, down the road, 10 or 20 years, you have a lot of things growing. There's a lot more value. Guess what? There's no tax on any of it. And here's another interesting thing. Let's say you buy it when you're 50 and you say, well, I want to grow things and then I want to use this and I want to actually benefit from the produce perhaps that's on there, but I'm going to wait until I'm 60. Awesome. So let the thing produce and grow over the next 10 years. And then when you're 60, when you can pull the assets or you can pull the fruits literally and figuratively out of the investment, at that point you make a distribution, it's all tax-free. So you can grow a tomato, eat the tomato, it's tax-free from your retirement account. It's a very cool strategy that's in line with the whole community and the philosophy around self-reliance and building up assets that you're actually going to be able to use in your community.
All right. And so in terms of funding one of these things, again, you are able to roll, if you have any existing retirement, and first off, could you roll any old account? Like, let's imagine I've got a hodgepodge of retirement accounts. You know, I worked for this company for 6 months and I got a couple thousand there. Or I've got a Roth here. I've got a SEP there. Can all of these roll into the QRP?
This is a really important point. What can you put in? What can get in there? So there are a couple of things that can't go in. A Roth IRA cannot be moved into a qualified plan. That's a limiter. An inherited IRA can't go in. The other one that's a maybe is if you have a current 401k at a current employer. If it's there, you might be able to. It's called an in-service rollover. Most of the time, it's not going to happen. But when you leave the job, you can move that over. You can move any old 401k, 457, whatever, the thrift savings plan if you're a government employee. All of those, once you've left employment, 100% of that can be moved over into your plan. A regular 401k or a Roth 401k can also be moved into your plan. So almost anything can be moved over. And even if you have, let's say you have an IRA, regular IRA, and let's say it's invested in something and you go, well, it's already invested, I don't want to sell my thing, you can move the assets over. It's called an in-kind rollover. So you can move almost anything over that you want. It's kind of like what you can invest in. They say, all right, well, it's like these three things. Actually, it's two things, inherited IRAs and Roth IRAs. Two things you can't move over. Everything else is eligible. And it's the only one that's iffy is if you still work somewhere and you might be able to move it, or you might have to wait until you leave. So you have a lot of flexibility and you can do it as many times as you want. There's a bit of a confusion around being able to do like one rollover per year. That's only if you take the money out yourself and hold it for a month or two and then put it back in. But if you do a direct transfer rollover, that's from one custodian to you as the trustee, you can do that 100 times a year. There's no limit on that.
And I set this up in the context of being a small business owner, and that it made a lot of sense. Is that who this is really geared towards, or does this work for somebody who happens to be part of a practice or have a regular job too?
So there's no limit on who can actually do this in terms of if you have a 401k, if you have employees, if you have none of these. It's really open to anybody. The stipulation that the IRS has is this is for a business owner. So the question is, what is a business owner? Well, if you open up a lemonade stand in your front yard, you have a business. If nobody even buys your lemonade, you still have a business. So it's really the question is, okay, well, what do I need to do to have a business? I don't know. You can do almost anything. If you're an online affiliate, if you have an Amway business, now I know that's probably a four-letter word for some people, but hey, I've had them. And if you're selling anything or you're in, if you have an eBay business, that's a business. So it doesn't take a lot. People get hung up on this. They say, well, I'm a W-2 employee, or I'm a doctor and I have colleagues and I have employees. All of these things are eligible. We just have to say, okay, well, what's the business activity? That's all it is. So you can have 10 different plans. You can have one. It's really very flexible. There's a lot of misinformation and a lot of confusion. So people tend to stay wherever they're at. But the reality is, if this sounds like a good fit, there's a way for you to do it without a doubt.
All right. And your company, how long has it been offering these, and how many people have you helped achieve a little bit of freedom here?
So I've been doing this for about 10 years, and being in this space, I think total there have been about 10,000, which is kind of a drop in the bucket compared to the 2 million that are out there. Mm-hmm. But it's enough to where we have a very, very firm grasp on what we're doing. And pretty much the problems that would come up have come up, and there's been a fix for them. So it's not, there's interesting. There's a lot of people that are popping up into the space of retirement plans. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like investing with somebody that's doing their first investment and they also have a job. And so this is their part-time thing, and mm-hmm. you're going to be their trial run. Like, you don't want to be part of a trial run. You want to be with a firm that's established, that's got a team. And so we've been doing this a long time, and it's a well-established process. Like your experience, you had an experience that's probably better than our first client years ago. It was very simple, and you I'm went sure. Right?
Yeah, it was very simple. It was very easy. It certainly was. And this has been really helpful for me because, again, I'm interested in the key things that really attracted me to this was the idea of having this put through a Wyoming LLC and the privacy that afforded, the extra layer of protection around that. I'm also going to be wrapping that in later with a trust strategy so that, I can really get protected. Not because I think particularly I'm a target, although I have a fairly public persona at this point in time, but we live in a country where anybody can sue you for any reason at any point in time. And that's just the nature of the beast. And so, if you like living in, a house you own that has no fire insurance on it, fine. But I'm not that guy. So I like the protection that affords. But it's the ability to invest in all these other things because, here's my long-term view. Stocks and bonds are just going to just destroy wealth for a long time coming just because of the nature of the bubble that we're in, all of that personal belief system. I don't think those are the right place to invest. So I'm really scrambling around like a lot of people saying, well, where can I invest? And I wanted the freedom to be able to make that determination for myself with a very limited set number of things I can't do. Okay, I'm not going to buy a collectible Ferrari. Fine, with a rug in it, right? So I can't do that, and lease it to my mom. Okay, that's not going to happen, right?
Just piling in all of the problems in one transaction. It's like, this is a big X.
Yeah, is that just 15% for all of those at once, or is that 15 for each infraction? Anyway, I'm not doing that. But otherwise, I really wanted to be able to I think this next future is going to be about very unusual asset classes and things like that. And so to the degree to which I know a lot of my listeners, including myself, have retirement planning as part of their past and or current or future, that I think I just wanted to let them know that there are other options out there, and that this was part of my eye opening was understanding that this isn't about taking advantage of loopholes in a tax code. This is about using the tax code as it's written. Okay, that's already applied to me anyway. They're like, here's what you have to pay. That part's applied. Well, there are other parts to it. So let's figure out how to put and apply all of these together, and that there are areas that the government wants to advantage because they want those activities. And if I'm going to be in those activities, I need to know about them. I need to learn about them. I should have learned about them in high school. Didn't get it there. Didn't learn about it. Even in any of my MBA programs, it's bizarre. So that this is not overly impossibly complicated information, but it's really important information. So that's what I wanted to bring to people.
I'm glad you're sharing this. And unfortunately, there's really not a place that we're not going to learn this in school. Even if you have an MBA, you're not learning this stuff. And and don't you have an MBA?
Yes.
I mean, this is not something that's taught and that's kind of the highest end of business and finance where you're getting an MBA. It's unfortunate, but you just have to follow the money. And ultimately this is a very valuable tool for you, just not really for anybody else if you do it. So that's why most people haven't heard about it. It puts you in control. I don't think most people want to have you in control of your stuff. They want to be in control of your stuff.
Well, that's where we depart ways. So listen, Damien, really good stuff. And I want to give people all the appropriate links and information. And first up, people who listen to this, would they be able to talk with you if they had other questions and were interested in figuring out more about this?
Yeah, it's really easy to connect with me and really the first step with this is education. And mm-hmm. and so when I wrote the QRP book, it was to give people basically what they needed. It's a great reference guide, and it also allows people to kind of walk through the process and say, oh, okay, I get it, because there are a lot of nuance, but it's been boiled down to a point where it's actually in English where people mm-hmm. can really read it. And so the process is getting a copy of that and then also having a conversation with us, because it's not just about the general guidelines. It's about your personal situation. Does this make sense for you? Some people, mm-hmm. it probably doesn't even make any sense for, even if they're qualified. So yeah, people can, what I would suggest is you get a copy of the book, you can get a copy at theqrpbook.com and we'll send you a copy of it. And then I'm also going to send you it's kind of the cliff notes. So you can, the 10 page cliff notes of it. So you'll get that in an email. And then once you get that, we'll set up a time to talk. And if it's a good fit, you know, a couple of weeks from the time you say yes, you're going to have your money in your account. At the very least, you're going to be informed of the options when you go through this process. And I think that's good to know your options. Or, you know, if you want to put your head in the sand, that's also an option. But you're not listening to this. You haven't lasted this long over the last hour because your head's in the sand. You're still here because you care about knowing and empowering yourself.
Well, absolutely. And so we'll have some of those links down below in the podcast here. But in case somebody's listening to this someplace like YouTube or other places where they might not be availing of those links, where please direct people to your website and let them know how they can follow up more directly.
So the fastest way is you can go to totalcontrolfinancial.com. And if you're on your phone right now, you're watching or you're driving and you want to get this ball going, here's the fastest way. Text the word QRP to the number 72,000. That will get the ball rolling and it's as fast as you texting somebody else. So QRP to 72,000 and the ball will get rolling. You'll literally get the report on your phone and the book will get sent out. So it's very, very fast and efficient no matter what you're listening to or watching this on.
Excellent. Well, that certainly sounds easy. And I would advise people to at least get educated, at least look into it if you think this applies, just so you know. And, you know, it might fit, it might not, you might decide to do it, you might not. All of that is up to you. But I just wanted to make sure people had the same access to this information that I got. And it made sense for me and I did it. And it's been very simple. And I'm glad I've done it so far. So no hitches, nothing to report, except it's been very smooth. So Damon, thank you so much for helping me with that process and for your time today.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here. I'm looking forward to talking with people and helping people get empowered and get free.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.